two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us this evening. Another week in the books of NFL football. My favorite weekend of all of the year, and it's now past us. It's the NFL's wild card weekend, and I know, just like you, Scott, I was super excited to be a part of watching this wild card weekend. I was so glad to watch and see these games, and of course they went totally as we expected. And I'm wondering if Scott is even there. Scott, are you there? Almost. He's almost there. All right, we've got the national championship game for college football right in front of us. And Scott Mitchell now is there. Scott, are you there, buddy?
I've been here for about 15 minutes.
Oh, look at you. Okay, so now
just kind of waiting for
I had to stop talking. I had to stop talking. Is what it ended up.
Oh being. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
I wanted to point out as we start off here at the 705 cut that we have, of course, Scott got it all wrong this weekend. We went in, we did our predictions, and Scott got them all wrong. It's a 705 cut. Let's get things started right now.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 705. Here's what made the cut.
Scott, of course, the only person on our staff who's played in an NFL wild card game himself. And the cut, by the way, brought to you by Wasatch Medical.
Why don't you just say a playoff game? They're just playoff games. That's all they are, Alex.
Playoff game, yeah. They're all
you make it
game.
Sound like it's a bad thing.
Well, no, so
and
many,
I'm not going to let you do that.
Well, no,
me.
I'm those guys who are like, I don't know, my kids this weekend are like, oh, okay, so when do the playoffs start? I go, no, this is them. And they go, no, it's wild card weekend. I go, well, that's the playoffs. They go, no, 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 the playoffs start next week. I go, no.
No, they don't.
These are the most important parts of the playoffs. So with all these games, we saw, of course, the Browns have a 28-point first quarter, which is exactly what we predicted. but out of all the things, you and my son picked the Browns to upset the Steelers. My son, because he doesn't like the Steelers. You, because you had one thing to say, and that was, these teams who are going in and playing in stadiums where normally the fans would be yelling at them on the sideline, spitting at them, where Cleveland teams just basically never win in recent memory, they won this weekend, and it was because, just like you predicted, these home games are not really home games.
Well, Pittsburgh did all the things that Cleveland has done in the past. And really what it is, it's a changing of the guard. Okay, there's eras in football, right? And there was the Ben Roethlisberger era. And it's really coming to a close. And even though I think there's three or four guys over 40 at quarterback that are playing this next week. And
they're going to be playing somewhere. And the oldest men ever in the history of the game are going to be playing against each other, too.
Right.
Brady
but these eras change. And there was this long era of the Cleveland Browns being abysmal. And that's changing. And you look at the Buffalo Bills, who have been terrible for the last 25 years. And they were a team that went to four Super Bowls in a row at one point. You know, they were considered one of the elite teams in the NFL. And then you have, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I know it's Tom Brady, but they're a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in over 13 years. And the thing that happens in the NFL, and it usually happens in the playoffs, is you start to see a new, you know, if you want to say sheriff in town, or a new era unfold. And I'll tell you, teams like the that didn't make the playoffs, but they're going to be part of that change. It's going to be the Chargers, and they're going to be one of these teams. The Rams winning is kind of a change in an era. And so there's this thing that we get comfortable with, and I think we like it, Alex, where we like, even though we don't like the teams, we liked it when New England won all the time. There was a certain kind of awe that you watched that.
Yeah,
greatness,
even if you didn't
that,
like Tom Brady, you went, man, those guys are good, and you kind of wanted to almost dare them to win that many Super Bowls.
And now there's a new type, and you know, maybe the Cleveland Browns become a team that competes to win Super Bowls. But the Kansas City Chiefs, it's kind of the same thing where, you know, a new, you have all these new teams that are emerging that maybe haven't ever been there. I mean, Cleveland's never been to a Super Bowl, but it's kind of a changing of the guard time in the NFL.
That's hilarious you say that, because the new sheriff in town is actually the old sheriff. He's just in a new outfit, new jurisdiction, and he could absolutely, Tom Brady, watching him do what he does and still winning another playoff game. And just, I would imagine that the idea of, I mean, you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Drew Brees and the Saints taking on one another this weekend. I don't know who, like, it's that awe thing. It's the awe factor. I want the Saints to win. Like, on paper, I'm like, I want them to win because I like them more than I like Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. But it's kind of like, you know what? There's a win-win situation there with both of these, because it's these two old quarterbacks, and you almost want to, like I said, you dare Tom Brady to just keep winning. But I think that, you know, in the end, I don't know what the Super Bowl is going to look like. But I, you know, there's part of me that goes, what is the best matchup for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to take on? Because that's what I assume is going to end up happening. But who knows? Right. I mean, the Browns are going to go to Kansas City, and they're like, who cares, man? We just, the bigger monkey off of their back is playing the Steelers at their place. The Steelers are their divisional opponent that just always beats the heck out of them. And so this weekend, when you're looking at these teams, when you looked at the, if you would have told me the Seahawks and the Titans and the Steelers were all going to lose at home in the playoffs, I would have said no way, and they'd be the higher seed. I'd say no way, absolutely not. But
Alex,
this is where your genius comes in, Scott. Your genius comes in. You go, no one cares. There's no fans. There's no such thing as home field advantage.
That's very true. But it's also a part of it. And it's a huge part of it. And people don't talk enough about it because it's a real thing. But it's also this changing of the guard thing. And there's just a new kind of era happening. But here's another thing that, as you were talking, I thought was fascinating. Basically, everything Tom Brady does is, like, unprecedented. and what would that be like? I mean, Tom Brady is the oldest quarterback to get off of the bus and go into a locker room. Tom Brady's the oldest person to, like, warm up.
Throw a quarterback with two minutes left in the second quarter of a playoff game.
Anything and everything he does is so unprecedented. You look at like, career playoff game victories, and it's Tom Brady at like 31, and then it's Joe Montana at 16.
Yeah, okay.
And so then there's three other guys that are at like 14, and one of them's Peyton Manning.
Right.
The other guy's Terry Bradshaw, and the other guy's John Elway. I mean, to whatever Tom Brady does, and I actually kind of, I don't know why, but I would love to see the Buccaneers play the Kansas City Chiefs in the world. I don't even know why.
Just to see the old and the new.
Because he's
just
so darn old.
A weird,
yes, he's
changing
so old
of the guard, like, officially. Now, here's the thing, too. Again, Joe Montana, when I was a kid, it was, people had these discussions about who was the best ever. And Joe Montana was almost always at the top of that list. He was the guy. And when you were coming into the league, it was like kind of the end of the best of what we'd seen of Joe Montana. But, And it was kind of almost, you know, the era of Steve Young coming in there. But he had already won, you know, three or four Super Bowls by that time. So when you talk about that, touchdowns thrown in the NFL playoffs by old guys, or just by quarterbacks in general.
Right.
The gold standard for everything was Joe Montana.
Yes.
And he has 43. And you go, my heavens, throwing 43 touchdowns in the playoffs.
In just the playoffs.
It's insane. In just the playoffs, it's insane. Tom Brady has 77 touchdowns in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the number one and number two. They're separated by 34 touchdowns. He almost doubles up what I consider growing up as the greatest quarterback of all time. And so I can't help but wonder, who do I actually want to get to the Super Bowl? Is it Tom Brady? Just to dare everybody. There's also part of me that goes, please let him die on the vine just so we can move on. Maybe it can get him that much closer to enjoying whatever version of quote-unquote retirement it is that he's going to have. So I don't know what that's going to look like, but the NFL playoffs this weekend, speaking of unprecedented, having the Browns go and win a playoff game, having the Bills go and win a playoff game, two teams who hadn't done it in more than two decades. Awesome. I love that stuff. Let's take the quick break here. We'll come back. When we return, yes, the national championship is on. Yes, it is an absolute shootout already with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. It's 14-14 Alabama and Ohio State. But is football dying here out west as they try to keep it alive with the national championship game? Stay right here with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Carey. And the playoffs happened in the NFL, or they started anyways, this first week of the playoffs, which is designated wild card weekend. I don't care about that. Anyways.
It's the playoffs, sorry.
It's just the
Are you saying
playoffs.
That because you never got past the wild card weekend?
No, I got past that weekend.
Oh, you did? Yeah, sorry.
No, look, here's the thing. No one cares about me. Okay, my time is over. I'm just here to give you insight, and I don't have to rehash my time and my.
Hold
experience.
On, I'm going back to like NFL stats reference. I want to see how many touchdowns you threw in the NFL in the playoffs here.
I don't know, three or four. But here's the thing.
Yeah,
it's just hard to win in the playoffs. I mean,
it seems like it.
I mean, it really is hard. It's
Ben
it's
Roethlisberger
hard to win.
Is one of the best quarterbacks in my era. I mean, since we've. In the last couple decades, like that's with Tom Brady being around, like he is definitely a Hall of Fame guy. He's like the other guy in the NFC or in the AFC that would win Super Bowls if Tom Brady wasn't doing it.
Everybody loves Peyton Manning.
Everybody loves Peyton Manning.
They love Peyton Manning, right?
But Ben Roethlisberger is like the guy threw four picks yesterday,
right?
In like 10 minutes,
right? It took him 5 years. He lost his first 5 years. 5 years in a row before he ever won a playoff game.
Wow.
And so you kind of – that's kind of why people hate Tom Brady because it's not that easy. What he's done and
he
how
– it look too easy.
It's just not that easy. It's just not.
Speaking of people who set a standard that's ridiculous, Alabama right now back up on top of Ohio State, 21-14 now in the
– this is a barn burner.
In the second quarter. I like that there are a lot of points being scored. And, boy, no defense so
what
far.
What does a barn
thing.
Burner mean, actually?
Yeah,
Alex,
it sounds very dangerous, but it sounds exciting.
It's wood and it just goes fast? Is that
I guess. It's just what it is? It goes up super quick and it just, it ends up being, killing a couple cows, I guess, at the end of it.
So the last play where Alabama just scored a touchdown is like
the G. Harris with a little
kind of throwback a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a Barry Sanders highlight. Just
ooh, I mean, you're gonna make me play, do homework
on a play,
now.
On a play similar to that, actually.
The college football playoff is going, and it makes us think. And by the way, that was Najee Harris's 29th touchdown this year. He did not win the Heisman Trophy. His teammate Devontae Smith did. But the college football playoff game is tonight, and the West Coast. A USA Today article actually brought something up that I thought was. Kind of sad for us who live here out west because the whole article is based on look at Alabama and Ohio State and look how few teams out west here are making an impact on college football. And with the exception of a couple of teams here and there, a couple of times that Washington has snuck into that college football playoff, or you know, someone from the Pac-12, you know, like with Oregon sneaking in, the most recently kind of have some national prowess. We don't talk about the West like we used to, Scott. And look, football has been an Eastern sport forever, an East Coast sport kind of forever. But there are certainly blue blood programs in the West and west of the Mississippi, but it just doesn't seem like that. And this whole article points out how this regional disparity, specifically even with the Big 12 compared to the Big 10 and the ACC and the SEC, it's just it's so hard to compare these regions because you don't see a lot of teams that can compare to an Ohio State. If you think about Ohio State versus anybody in the past decade in the Pac-12, it's not a contest. And that is a really sad thing, considering that it's not going to get any better before it gets worse here out west, I think.
You know what Urban Meyer did when he went to Florida, and what he did when he went to Ohio State? They had you think of the Big Ten, and you kind of it just couldn't match up with these programs from the South. Is he started recruiting really fast players, and he realized that speed had a bigger impact on how games changed. And so you look at the Pac-12, and there's a lot of like storied programs. I mean, Washington really has a great history. Oregon, USC, you know, Stanford's kind of built a little bit of a UCLA. And even to some degree, there was a time when Arizona State was a team that could compete on a national stage. And so I think part of it is a little bit in maybe how these teams recruit. The problem, I think, isn't so much that it's bad. I think there's just more teams that are better. And so it really waters down where the talent kind of ends up on the West Coast. I mean, you have some of the best players from California going to Alabama. You have some of the best players in California going to Oregon. You have players that, you know, you have these four-star recruit quarterbacks leaving California to go to Utah. I mean, you know, so I think a lot of the challenge is it's that I think a lot of programs are better and the recruiting gets kind of watered down. I mean,
well, I just can't imagine
California has
better.
So much talent.
It does, but let me just give you the bad news.
A place like Ohio should be better than anywhere in California.
Let me give you the bad news. So the last time that a national championship was won by somebody, that was claimed by somebody in the West, was USC in January of 2005, okay?
Right, yeah.
That was 15 years ago, and you think about 16 years ago, and you think about that, no team has been back to, I mean, okay, out of the 28 playoff game or teams that have been in the playoffs, the college football playoffs since 2015, none since December of 2016 have been west of Kansas. And they said, and teams from west of the Mississippi have been only 6 of the 28 times, and that was 4 of those were losses by Oklahoma. So you're talking about California, and you're talking about Washington. You're talking about anything out here out west, and Utah certainly. The last couple of years, not this year, of course, but the last couple of years when they were they're knocking on the door of the Pac-12 championship games, and they just couldn't get there, and they were close when they were in that discussion. That was the closest.
I think they're closer now than they have been.
And really, you know what? That means that they're one of the closer teams in recent memory here in the West that could actually be considered somebody who might have a shot at being a part of that conversation. So here's the question. Why would they care about these other teams out West? These college football playoff committees, you might hate to admit it, Scott, But these grumpy old dudes who get together and help make this decision about who's going to be in that 14 playoff, it's better for them to stick to the quote-unquote same old teams because they're the better football teams. And it's proven with how few times the West is even competing with these teams that are coming from the Midwest and out East.
Well, it certainly what you don't have in the East, where I think you have it more in the West, is you don't have a school like Kentucky who's in the SEC. It's like if you're a really good player, you're going to Alabama. You're going to Georgia.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And so they don't cannibalize each other.
If you're a five-star guy and you live in Oklahoma, you might go to Oklahoma. The reality is, probably going to go to Alabama.
So it's not getting saturated maybe as much as it is here out on the West. And I think these kids from that part of the country have a different mindset. It's like, we're going to the best. That's it. We're not going to go have a college experience. We're going to go be a part of the very best program in the country.
If Utah in the next 10 or 15 years maybe has a shot once in there, we'd be excited. And if that's the case for Utah, BYU's got about a 1 in 100-year chance.
If USC got the right coach, Alex,
they could be in every year.
They would be there every year.
Let's
if
take
Urban
the break.
Meyer, I'm just telling you, if Urban Meyer chose to
if
go
Urban
there,
Meyer was at BYU'd go too. All right, we'll take the break. We got more to go right here. The college football playoff continuing right here. It's 21-14, Alabama leading right now in the second quarter. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, as well as we watch the college football championship right here before our own eyes. Alabama right now leading Ohio State 21-17. One of the more just blatantly obvious targeting penalties as we've seen in a long time, and it seems like the national championship game has a targeting penalty now every year.
Seems like every game has a targeting
now,
penalty.
Yes. And one of the DBs for Alabama just absolutely put the top of his helmet underneath the chin of a tight end for Ohio State. Easiest call ever, right? He's out of the game. He's disqualified. Poor kid. He's going off the field, and he's crying. And then the ref had to go over and explain it to Nick Saban, Scott. And I think everybody is afraid of Nick Saban. I mean, just the guy walks over, and he has his mask on, and he's kind of keeping his distance, and Nick Saban wants an explanation. And it's going, this is the most – he's like, just watch the video. It's the most obvious thing you've ever seen. And Nick Saban rolled his eyes and went – and he's like, whatever. And I'm going – what? Nick Saban is always just – listen, he is always getting the Nick Saban treatment. And that's because Nick Saban does what Nick Saban wants to do. As Alabama is now driving down trying to score again, it's just been back and forth.
Well, it's bad optics, and clearly Nick Saban should just not say anything.
Just go – yes, move
because,
on.
Because I mean, the guy got just nailed.
Just blasted
the
kid.
I mean, it just –
it looked like he knocked out the guy. It was bad.
And you want to complain about that. That's
I'm just saying that's the way I feel when I'm around you, Scott. So the social distance thing has been really good for me. I get nervous being around you. You're like the Nick Saban to our show. I'm like
the Urban Meyer. What do you mean you get nervous?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're the you're the nicest Aflac salesman I've ever met. All right. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is the Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. And the Utah Jazz have put on quite a show the last couple of games. At least, and this head-scratcher of a road trip for the Jazz. But they're just getting their feet under them. Ben Anderson joins us here on the program. Ben, Happy New Year. We haven't been able to talk to you since everything has started back up again, and we hope you're doing well.
Hi, Alex. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben, I'm curious. So the Jazz basically got the same team they've had, right? And then they brought it back Derek Favors. And are you surprised by some of the Jekyll and Hyde that's going on? Shouldn't this team be more like cohesive and further down the road? I feel like, wow, we're just trying to find ourselves again and figure out how to play together as a team.
Yes and no to sit on the fence for you. Yes, because they have so much talent, they should be better than they are. They should be playing better than they are. No, because Mike Conley missed so much time last year. Bojan Bogdanović missed the end of the season last year. They weren't playing particularly well together when everybody was healthy early in the season. So I do think they are still kind of in this process of working it out. So in that sense, I'm not surprised, but they are so talented. They do have guys that should be able to go out and give you 20 every night, that should be shooting better than they are. And we're not seeing that. And sometimes we're just not seeing any cohesion. And I think that's really weird.
Well, we've also seen in the last couple of games a Donovan Mitchell that has really shown up, 32 and 28 points respectively in that stretch. And so it really has depended in the last couple of games that Donovan's gotten his feet under him a little bit too.
Yeah, and there's no coincidence that the Jazz are 2-0 in those two games. He's that important. And he's at his best, he's a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA and should be the best player on the floor when he's playing his best. And I think that was the case in the second half against Milwaukee. I think he and Jeremy Grant were the best players on the floor in Detroit. And then Donovan came out and, you know, was so good in the first quarter that it helped the Jazz build a 20-point lead, and they were able to carry that. But that's why they won that game. So having Donovan playing that well is the great stabilizer and should allow some more freedom for the rest of these guys. Boyan coming back from his injury, Derek Favors trying to figure out what his role is now in the second unit with the Jazz. It should give those guys a softer landing trying to figure out what their role is.
So where is Boyan? I mean, clearly he, you know, he's not maybe at the kind of projection he's been in the past. Is the injury and the recovery, is it longer? Where is he?
Yeah, that's what I suspect. And he's kind of, you know, vacillated between wearing the wrist guard and not wearing it. The one time he did wear it on the floor, he shot really well and then hasn't really gone back to it, which is weird to me. But he's that type of guy who doesn't want to wear anything extra. He doesn't want to wear anything he doesn't have to. And certainly that's his right. He knows his game better than anybody else does. But, you know, there was a question when he got back to training camp of whether he'd be even available for the Jazz first game. Now, that was still, what, 2.5 weeks ago now when the Jazz had their season opener against Portland. And he actually played in all the preseason games. But I do think the diagnosis originally was that, hey, he might not be fully healthy when the season starts. So I think it's probably fair to assume that he's still not fully healthy, and he is still trying to get back on the floor and get back to 100%. Plus, he's never been a particularly quick starter in his career anyways. He's always had slow starts. He was miserable in the preseason last year. Usually he gets going around the All-Star break and really takes off. The Jazz would love him to kick in a little bit sooner than that, though.
Speaking of kicking in a little bit sooner, 15% fewer games this year means we are 15% more anxious to see, like, find, you know, any sort of pattern or anything that kind of indicates where the Jazz are at any given time. But because everything's been postponed and pushed back, and then on top of it you have fewer games, is there kind of that leeway, or is there just no room for it? It just seems like every team has sort of had a little bit of a who are we right now this early on in the season, because it's just been a whirlwind of 6 months for the NBA.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think having a more condensed season and less time to kind of develop yourself, even though it only ends up being, you know, 10 games in the end, and we'll see. There's games getting suspended left and right now. It feels like maybe we end up only playing 65 games. Maybe the league has to figure out how to take 2 weeks off and let everyone quarantine and just try and get healthy so they can come back and start over. And that's, you know, a ways down the road. But every game is going to be important. And so these weird losses, like tonight, the Suns lost to the Wizards without Russell Westbrook by 30 points. And, you know, the Jazz got absolutely decimated by the Nets without Kevin Durant. We've seen the Clippers lose a game by 50.
That was a pesto issue.
Yeah, right. But we've seen all – I mean, basically every team in the NBA this year, maybe the Lakers don't have one, has had a game where they've lost by 25. It just feels like every night somebody's getting absolutely decimated. And I think that's because of the rapid play, the lack of practice, lack of shoot-around. So you are just going to have some leeway because everyone's going to have these bad games. But the quicker you find yourself, you're going to have a huge advantage at the end of the season.
Maybe the weirdest storyline of the year so far is the Jazz getting their car jacked and all this cash before the Milwaukee game. I'm like wondering how a car that has $20,000 in laptops gets stolen right out in front of the hotel. And if that fires up the team, I don't know if anybody's spoken on it since, or if it, because it's a police matter, it was just kind of just, you know, shushed for the rest of us.
Well, and, you know, you don't want to talk about it too much because whoever's fault that ends up being, you don't want them to be the guy who, you know, left the keys in the car running when there are $20,000 in laptops. You don't want that to be, you know, Keon Dooling or one of the new Jazz assistant coaches. We don't really want to point the finger that early.
Some rookie driving the car around. Bring it around. Yeah, I'll just be right out in front. And
Where's Rudy? Where's Gobert?
There's something going on because he's not finishing well at the rim, and his free throws are at about 50% right now. Now, I could chalk up the free throws to saying he's shooting in an empty arena, and I would believe that. I think that's weird. I think the silence is weird. I think not having fans at your back makes you feel like you're more isolated, and I could buy that from Rudy Gobert. I don't understand why he went 2 of 7 from the floor the other night and then 1 of 5 yesterday against the Pistons. That really doesn't make sense. So he's still good. He's still making a lot of plays. He's running a little bit differently because he's playing with Mike Conley, and Mike Conley's initiating so much of the pick and roll, and it's been good, but it's still a little bit of a work in progress, so that could be part of it. But he just looks like he might not have the lift or might not have the legs that he's had in years past, so he's good. He's still one of the best centers. He's just missing a couple of those easy shots.
You can hear him on Jazz Notes on KSL News Radio throughout the day, and also the Jazz Notes podcast, and also on KSLSports.com. He's our Jazz Insider. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break. We come back. Uh-oh. Looks like Alabama got a stop on defense, which is very dangerous because nobody can stop them on offense right now. 28-17, the Tide leading the Ohio State Buckeyes with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Yeah, that's how many points are being scored so far in this national championship game. We'll come back. We got more to go. It's not MVP time. It's they so poo-poo. That's right. We saw enough bad over the weekend that we decided to hand out the anti-MVPs early in the week. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
All righty. Welcome on back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. You know, Alex, I don't know that there's anything that quenches your thirst more than a really good glass of water. I love.
This is the weirdest, this is the weirdest public service announcement ever.
No.
What's going on right now?
I grew up in Springville, Utah.
Arch City, baby. Come on.
You just drank right out of the water came out of the mountain, the spring. And
this is
it was made up.
This is fake news right
now. Oh, my goodness. It's not fake news. That's what our water was. The best water I've ever had in my life, right? So now it's not that way. They put the chemicals, whatever. But there are places still in this country where the water comes right out of the mountain. And I'll tell you, in Idaho, Teton Valley, right by the Teton Mountains on the west side of the Tetons.
What?
Water comes out of the mountain. Best water you've ever had in your life.
Is this the COVID talking? Is this the COVID fever talking?
No, I just had a glass of water.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? Well, because, you know, I need
my... Listen, I congratulate, like, just you, you know, just enjoying the smaller things in life. But this is ridiculous.
No, it's not.
You know, nothing's better than a glass of water.
I'm just telling you. We're so caught up in, you know, our
what are we doing?
Diet Mountain Dew and all those drinks and all that stuff. There's just nothing better than
talking about?
Nothing better than water. Okay. So I'm going to tell you.
So tomorrow, you're going to get a glass of water instead of that Diet Mountain Dew?
Well, no, I'm going to get another glass
get
of
both.
Water during the break. I get water during the break.
Yeah.
That's what
there's
I
no
do.
Diet Mountain Dew. That's why.
I got a 24 case in the fridge.
Ain't no 24 case of water in there. I'll tell you that much. All right, Scott, we're going to kick something off here that we do periodically. It doesn't happen every night. Usually it's reserved for our MVPs. But this is one of those special occasions where, of course, we look around and go, uh-oh, these people were not so good over the weekend. It is our anti-MVP. It is they so poo-poo. So here we go.
They so poo-poo.
1, 2, 3, 4. Poo-poo, poo-poo. Everybody has to go poo-poo. Poo-poo, poo-poo. All day long.
All right, so you heard a little bit of a glimpse into what mine was with Ben Anderson, our Jazz Insider. The Jazz.
You want to hear what mine is?
Well, I'm going to go first because I like yours better than mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to get mine out of the way. You know, when we this with MVPs, and I know you have a better MVP than I do. So this one's just bad news. But the Jazz were in Milwaukee the other day. They're outside their hotel, the St. Kate Hotel in Milwaukee, which, by the way, the NBA has listed places you can stay and places you can eat. And so that's kind of a tough deal because if you've seen that list, which, like, every media outlet published it, you know, like 2 weeks ago. You know where the teams are going to stay.
Exactly.
And you know where they're going to be eating.
And you know that they're probably going to be busy at certain times of the night
yes.
or the evening.
Yes. So before they even played the Milwaukee Bucks the other night, a Jazz team car that was outside of the hotel was jacked, was ripped off. And it was stolen and... Thieves stole $20,000 in cash and two laptops and a tablet from that car.
Wow.
Scott, what's going on with – can I ask you about professional athletes?
Who wants to go to Milwaukee? Seriously.
I don't want to
go to Milwaukee.
I know, but they say the same thing about our city. But I was going to say this.
No, they don't.
People do all the time. They do.
People really love Utah.
I get it.
They love Utah.
Yeah, but unless they're just kind of doing the cursory thing like we do – because others go, oh, people love Milwaukee. But you know what? Those of us who don't really know much about Milwaukee,
you know, when
go,
I first moved to Detroit, yeah. When I signed with the Detroit Lions,
there was only one city worse in that area. And it was
I had
Milwaukee,
my car
Wisconsin.
Stolen.
Oh, you did?
From the hotel. Because I had to live in a hotel for about 2 weeks.
Hold on. You professional athletes are just targeted all the time you got to Miami and you got your credit card ripped off, right? Like,
Alex,
on the first day you're
it's
in
a
Miami.
Real thing. People, they love and look for professional athletes.
I know.
Yeah.
Wait, so here's the deal. $20,000. Why on earth are these cats carrying it? So let's say it's a car.
It's probably
four guys, okay?
Yeah, but
that's $5,000 a piece in their pocket. What are they doing?
No, it's probably a car that like helps them whatever when they're in town or
if they have to go to the doctor, if they have to get MRIs, things like that. They said that's the car that's set up for them to take.
And it's probably COVID related. Like, you don't want to
carry a bunch of cash.
Well, but that's
the opposite of COVID.
No, it's for things that like, you know, issues that may come up. And because like they're traveling for a couple of weeks. It's not like, yeah, we're going to be here for a day.
Right.
And that money, I know it seems like a lot, but it could be for a number of different things related to travel and issues with the football team. It doesn't, or the basketball team. It doesn't surprise me that someone had laptops or they had a lot of cash. And I'm sure if it's related to the team travel, yeah, that doesn't seem odd to me, just so you know.
What does seem odd to me is this. The team SUV was found parked and running without the keys at the hotel valet. That's how these crack criminals were able to bust the code. That is, they went up to a running car, opened it, and drove away in it. I don't know if they're going after the NBA guys, but I will say that if you roll up to a valet and a car's just running, that's pretty easy picking. So there you go. Those are my – but again, I'm not blaming the guy who left the car running. In the end, it's these criminals who are going after these pro athletes and taking their money. So those are my they so poo-poo award for the evening.
All right. Yeah, that's wrong. Terrible. I think it's awful. Here's my they so poo-poo, okay? It's Philadelphia. It's the fans. It's the football organization. And I'm talking about football here.
You're going the whole thing here.
This is an organization, and this is a real thing. They actually booed Santa Claus. Like, this is a team that and a city that goes, yeah, if we win a Super Bowl, like, whoever does that will be immortalized forever.
Right.
Like it has we'll have a lifetime pass. We'll have, you know, we'll be king of the city, keys to the city. We'll have actual, like, statues, and we'll be recognized forever, because this supposed Philadelphia is this great sports town, and all they've ever wanted was a Super Bowl. Well, they got a Super Bowl. They got a Super Bowl from Doug Peterson, who wasn't even – Doug Peterson I know very well.
Is that their first title, by the way? Is that their first title, by the way?
Yeah, they haven't won a Super Bowl.
They never won it. They never won
it. They went one time with Ron Jaworski in, like, 1980.
I don't even – did they win it back then, or did they just
No. They lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. They just went –
So they've only yeah. So
this
whoever,
is their title.
Whoever goes to Philadelphia and wins a Super Bowl,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but they should get a pass, because Philadelphia is the toughest, roughest, most terrible. Like, they're terrible.
I thought it was Milwaukee.
Well, no, because they'd probably steal the car while you were in it.
That's true.
They wouldn't even let it be, you know, kind of an easy target. And this is only 3 years ago. Like I remember when Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl, and
you
I got
this for Doug. I mean,
this guy,
this
guy will be loved in Philadelphia forever. Nope. 3 years later, he just got fired.
Can you believe that?
And you can't fire someone in a COVID year. I'm sorry, you can't fire someone. I should say who won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, everyone
won
the
Super Bowl.
The guy won a Super Bowl. They have a statue of him, Alex.
And they fired him.
They have a statue of him and Nick Foles.
Both gone.
And they're and they're no longer there.
Oh, my goodness. It
is such bad optics to me.
You know what's terrible? Who's going to want to interview for that job and really feel good about it? It's just like, hey, by the way, this is the standard. You could win the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. We are not – We are not loyal to anybody.
Nothing.
Anyway,
I don't get it. Nothing is good enough. Yeah. Well, nothing. I mean, none of this makes any sense.
They're officially moved up on the list until I change my mind to the most hated team in the NFC East right now. Okay, so there you go. There's our poo-poo. 20 seconds left in the second quarter here, and it's 35-17 Alabama leading. 35-17 the first half of the college football national championship almost in the books, and Alabama's knocking on the door again. Stay right here with us. More to go. Second hour of the program next after news, traffic, and weather.
KSL's unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. 35-17, your score for the college football national championship right now at the half. Alabama 35, Ohio State 17. It was 14-14, and then Alabama got a couple stops, and now it's just they're just absolutely rolling. Mac Jones to Devontae Smith, the last couple of touchdowns for Alabama. It's just as easy skating for these guys. The Heisman Trophy winner just absolutely behind everybody on defense. You'd think that's the guy, Scott, that you'd be playing
for. You know, there are some people, Alex, just in the way they walk, they just look better than other
people.
Doesn't
he look like – he doesn't even look like he's running.
I know, but just watching him leave the field, it's like, wow, that guy is just – whoa, he's so graceful. Yeah. I don't know. Very impressive.
So, there you go. I don't know if that's going to – I don't know if there's going to end up being a game out of this one, but we'll see. Second half upcoming. In the meantime – we've got some stuff to talk about here, Scott. One of the things that we're going to start off, of course, it's as always, we start off the 8:05 hour with the 8:05 cut, so let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Scott, this is one for you that I'm going to be absolutely asking your advice on, because this is a guy that you talk to quite often, and it's also something that we need to try to figure out, because once Kyle Whittingham leaves the University of Utah, it's going to take somebody very special to replace that man who has been the most important head coach maybe in the college ranks since Lavelle Edwards on that Mount Rushmore of great college coaches here in the state. And the Utah football program, of course, extending Coach Witt. I don't know what that means, because in these days, these guys can extend.
There's only one reason for it.
Yeah. Why would you keep doing? Is it just for looks so that you can keep recruiting guys?
It's 100% about recruiting.
Okay.
It's there's the appearance of stability, and really the Utah's been the model of stability. I mean, it's been a big part of how they can develop players and how they can really probably win with less, probably a lot less than some of these other programs. It's just, it's harder to recruit to Utah than it is Oregon. It's harder to recruit to Utah than maybe Washington and certainly USC. And so having that stability and having, you know, coaches that do more than, I mean, they really develop the talent in these players. They develop technique, they develop talent. These teams, these players, they just get better when they're at Utah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why is it that Coach Whittingham, because for, you know, when you see the guy, you don't think to yourself, man, the best media interview, none of that stuff. It's just the guy gets it done. What has been from top to bottom the thing that makes it to where he's been able to have the success for the length of time that he's had the success here at Utah? You know, not just taking him from the Mountain West to the Pac-12, but being able to be one of the best teams in the Pac-12 in recent years, being that team that is brand new in the conference.
So Utah is at a point in the program it's never been. The kind of talent that they're attracting to the program is unprecedented. The class they had a couple of years ago that started playing this year was, you know, remarkable. This past recruiting class has been the best class that they've ever had, and so this is a team that really I think when Utah entered the Pac-12 and they said, we're not just going to be here, but we're actually going to put our money where our mouth is, and we're going to compete for championships. And you know, part of it is changing the perception of things. And so the facilities had to be upgraded. And I'm just telling you, the what they've put into the facilities is just exceptional. It's as good as anywhere in the country. I mean, it's like everyone's going to have something better than you, but the facilities are top notch. And Utah is becoming and being recognized as, you know, as a team that's going to compete. I guarantee you next season they'll be considered probably the favorite to win the South again, and maybe the whole conference. So the thing about Coach Whittingham is he's not a lifer, though, Alex. He's even said, he goes,
kind of has been. I mean, he's
young. Look, he's not Lavelle, and he's not his sure. dad, because they kind of stayed in it as long as they possibly
what
could.
What does he want to do instead? Is this like a
– He wants to go.
But this is it, right?
The good thing about
– coaching-wise, this is it, right?
Here's the thing about Coach Whittingham. When he's on and he's in his program, he is a tough – he is tough, okay? He runs a tight ship, and he expects and demands a lot out of everyone, not just the players, but the coaches, everyone. And that's what you need. You need a leader that's going to hold you accountable to a standard. And that's what he does as good as anyone. They have a philosophy and a standard, and they don't vary from it. And they get players who buy into that or mold into that. But he's a guy that when he's off, there's nobody. I'm just telling you, nobody more fun to go play golf with than Kyle Whittingham. I mean, really. I mean, he's a very enjoyable person. He's a very he's very much a person. You know, he's not like Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was on 24/7. And Kyle Whittingham, you know, when it's time to go play golf, when it's time to go on a vacation with his family, when it's – he will go. And he has that good balance. And he goes, there's more to life than just being, you know, football 24/7, 365. You know, he's maybe 22/5 and maybe 300 or 250 days a year kind of thing. But I think, Alex – for Coach Whittingham, I think he's staying to win a championship. I think he's staying to go to the to a minimum go to the Rose Bowl. I don't think the college football playoffs necessarily is ever something. I think that's just something that may happen or could possibly happen. But a Rose Bowl is a reality. You win the conference, you go to the Rose Bowl, and so I think he would be disappointed in his coaching career. I think he wants to stay long enough to see that happen.
Do you think he'd
and I think it's a reality.
Do you think he'd cut it short if he did that in the next couple of years?
I wouldn't be surprised if things end in the next couple of years anyways. Probably the next 2.5-3 years.
This is a guy who, you know, like you said, all intents and purposes is I mean, this is the best coach at Utah ever. He's done the most for the program ever, and he's a guy who is absolutely
getting to a Rose Bowl. Really, Alex, I think he would be remiss if he didn't do that. I really do.
Even if he, obviously being able to win the Sugar Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, those are, and again, he was head coach for
but
one of those.
This is the Rose Bowl.
This is the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's where he was. That's everyone.
I guarantee you, every player that plays in the Pac-12 wants to go play in the Rose Bowl. I guarantee at every school, I guarantee you that they go above anything else. I really believe these players really want to go play in a Rose Bowl.
Right. My goodness. I just wonder how long it's going to end up being, and you know, on the one hand, you go for Coach Whittingham's sake, you go, man, I hope he can win it soon. And on the other hand, you go, as soon as he leaves, there's just is going to be a drop off.
There's part of him that he realizes he's had to make some modifications.
Right.
He's had to be more explosive offensively, and he's been willing to kind of explore that.
All right. We're gonna take the break here. We come back. More to go here on KSL's Unrivaled. Jeremiah Jensen is going to join us coming up next. The man in the other booth. He'll be through the glass, but he will be right here with us. Also, second half of the college football playoff starting up here in just a couple of moments. Stay right here with us. It is KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unraveled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. And from what I understand, Jeremiah's in a distant booth. You know, I watched this national championship game, and it actually is kind of frustrating to me from this perspective. I can't tell who's good and who isn't good in college football because Ohio State just doesn't look really that good. Now, I really think, you know, Justin Fields probably a little bit injured, but you just can't tell. And then, you know, if you watch some of these bowl games, it just doesn't give you any indication. You look at a team like Cincinnati who played really tough against Georgia, and you get a sense that, you know, maybe they're better. I can never tell from conference to conference, team to team, who is really good. Other than, you know what, Alabama is really good.
Sorry, did you say something, Scott? I didn't hear you. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. That was a very eloquent
Alabama's really good.
Yeah, that's an eloquent way of putting it.
That's quite a take.
Alabama's just really good.
I'm
going to
be honest.
Everyone else stinks.
There's this thing, too.
I had you guys riveted.
That's you did.
All I could think was is that I can't figure out which team I hate more
and
which
I know.
Team I want to, like, actually just have lose the game. I'm like, because in my mind, I'm like, I don't want Ohio State to win so that they can go, ain't no champs, baby. There's a weird feeling there where the other guys they're playing played 13 games. And that's a disadvantage or an advantage. I don't know which one. I haven't decided yet. But at the same time, Nick Saban rolled his eyes about that obvious targeting penalty, and there's a reason Alabama is always just Alabama.
Yeah.
They are absolutely hateable. I don't know who I want to lose more in this game. I'm okay with Alabama beating Ohio State in a year that everyone else felt like that Ohio State shouldn't be in the championship.
Here's what I'm struggling with, guys. You mentioned Alabama's hateable. I hate Alabama, too.
Sure.
I can't stand Nick Saban. I just feel like there's something fishy that's been going on down there
Humphrey
for a long time.
Bogart.
They're just not doing, like, why would so many star guys want to go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama? It doesn't make any sense to me. So what's drawing all these guys there? But besides that, all that, okay, so I have to admit that this Alabama team, the 2020 Alabama team, I really like watching him. Vonta Smith.
How easy does he make it look?
He's so likable. His Heisman speech was so humble and so great. I took a snippet and I sent it immediately to my 13-year-old son because I wanted him to watch it. Talking about it doesn't matter what size you
right.
are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just he's terrific, and he's got 12 catches, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns in the first half.
First half.
And yes,
no problem.
It's not like he's DK Metcalf, guys. He's just good, and you watch him, and he makes it look so easy. But he's not this gigantic, incredible looking athlete.
He's just a humble Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama.
right. Okay.
Well, most receivers are obnoxious.
Right.
And he's just not. And so you appreciate that.
I love
that.
I have to admit, I like watching Alabama, and I really, really, really love Devontae Smith.
I'm on board.
Mac Jones is a good dude. Najee Harris is incredible. I hate Alabama, just not this team this year.
Mac Jones. This is a tough one because Devontae Smith's the Heisman Trophy winner. But Mac Jones is 25 for 30 in the first half for 342 and four touchdowns.
Nobody's talking about him.
And everyone's going, Devontae Smith, can you believe how easily
Mac
he gets
who?
Behind those? Yes, and I'm like, since when is a quarterback forgotten? Ever? Of course, Scott Mitchell,
well, when
right?
you play with Barry Sanders, you can get forgotten really.
That's true.
That's true.
I'm sorry, Scott.
Wrong guy to ask. Look, that's the one time in your whole life as a quarterback that you get...
You had to ask that question to Scott Mitchell.
Some Hall of Fame guy. I can't remember his name.
Alex Keery is a jerk.
Listen, I'm just saying most
Alex
of the time.
Alex does this on purpose.
Oh, you know he does. Yeah. You know he does.
Here's the thing, though, is they scored 20. They pulled a Cleveland Brown second quarter, the Cleveland Brown first quarter yesterday. 28 points in the second quarter. But they got stops, and that's the part that's going to be interesting is that now Ohio State – isn't just going blow for blow here.
Yeah.
They're not able to keep up with this, and that's going to be a problem. This could be beyond a blowout. What's funny to me is I'm looking at this. Google has the game's up here. It hasn't started the second half. They have it as a final, 35-17. I think they assume. I think Google. The
We've
Google
all
folks,
seen enough. Alabama's the champ.
25-30 for 342 and four touchdowns. It must be over.
But what's half. Hard? What's hard about it is when you're on the other side of that, and you just go like you can't blink. Like we can't punt. We can't kick field goals. We have to go and score. And when you don't, it very quickly you lose like your will. And for a team to just be really explosive, offensively, and it's a weapon. And it's an intimidation. It's a way to get you out of your rhythm, because you go, well, nothing. We can't stop them. Nothing's going to stop them. They're just that good. And so you literally. I mean, I know there's still a half of this game to go, but you literally have in your mind already lost the game.
Yeah.
I wonder too, in a game like this, in a national championship like this. How can you do we look at this as the most exceptional national championship that's been won in recent memory because of what they've had to go through? This is their 13th game. They're 13-0 after they win this one. Or is it just one of these where you go, yeah, you weren't playing against the best the best versions of these teams that you usually see? It was remarkable. We reward BYU for getting through the season they did. What about where does this stand with Alabama? Because they won the Heisman Trophy. Would they have done it, in a season where everybody was at full strength? I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, they had three of the top five Heisman Trophy yes. Voting.
Not bad.
And to run the table the way they have, and they're going to have a number of first, second-round picks from this team. So where do they rank among some of the other? I mean, it's so hard because, I mean, you go every year at Alabama, and it's just like, okay, they got five guys in the first round, and they, I mean, you look at every player in the NFL almost, and it feels like they're from Alabama, right? I mean, Derrick Henry, et cetera. Sure. So some of the best players in the NFL are guys from Alabama. It's just they've done a tremendous job, and that's why I hate them. It just doesn't seem fair what they do. The truth is, though, guys, and we're watching this game tonight, is this bad for college football? I mean, we probably need another segment to have this discussion, but I don't feel like what we're seeing tonight is good for the game. I think when you have a competitive national championship game, that's when you have a great season. That's when you have a lot of interest. If you had a lot of teams that were in the running for a national championship, then you'd have a lot of interest. But I think we felt like Alabama was going to do this for probably since November, right?
I think the season's so, like, just it's such a throwaway season. And I mean, there are very few teams. I mean, BYU had a tremendous season, and it was remarkable what they did. But I think most people in college football say throwaway year. So whatever happens, fine. But if you're Alabama, I think you go, we'll take our national championship.
And they should.
Yeah, no question. Because there's really nobody. There's nobody. Like there's not a team in the Big 12. There's not a team in the Big 10. There's not a big team. There's not. I mean Clemson and Notre Dame, that both of those teams were not, not up to the, no one, of course, no one in the Pac-12. I mean, nobody is even close to where Alabama is right now. And I think it's hard to answer your question, Jeremiah, because of this year. It was fascinating with Utah and talking to those players. They were so burned out. And I think a lot of these teams just didn't maybe have the same focus, the same energy, the same oomph that normally do because of the stress and challenge of this whole COVID situation.
We're going to take the break here. Devontae Smith just came out of the game and was the trainer was holding his hand to go into the tent after a really, really hard hit.
It's time for him to get ready for the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's when you go, you know what? Good.
You know,
first
you've
staff.
Done enough, dude. You won the Heisman. You broke records in the national championship. You got your natty.
Yeah.
You're good, man.
You'll see some of these highlights on SportsBeat tonight, I'm assuming.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything else going on?
What is wrong with the Running Utes program?
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Why they can't play a full ball game. It's sad. That's another segment for another
day. There
you go. The truth, sadly, people are listening like, who? I don't care. They're irrelevant. That's the problem.
Year.
A rebuilding year.
Yes, it's a rebuilding year.
It's been rebuilding years.
Yeah. Well, it's a slow build.
Hold on. You know what?
Something's got to change.
Hold the phone. Let's talk about it tomorrow. JJ will come in.
Okay,
we can
Tuesday.
Hang on. We'll talk about it.
We got the Jazz tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. We got Jazz and that. Why not? All right.
understand that.
So many things to talk about.
All right. That's a good thing.
News, traffic, and weather. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
Oh, my goodness. So many good things to talk about with the NFL Roundup. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Now, we talked a little bit at the top of the show, Scott, of course, about how wrong you were this weekend about all these games that happened across the league. And by that, of course, I mean, Scott.
You said that sarcastically is what you did.
See what I did there?
Yeah. You were sarcastic.
Well, Scott did something. I didn't want to listen. Kinda, you know why?
You hate it because you hate when I'm right.
It's not just that. The problem was is you rolled out the you're being right part last weekend before we made all of our picks with you starting out being like, oh, I got some bad news for you and your Seahawks. So you did like the personal jab first. So I didn't want to believe any of it.
Well, it wasn't a personal
yes,
jab.
Yes, it was, Scott. It was.
No, it was just the facts.
I just.
Just look at the facts. Oh, that's all it was.
Okay, 2D facts of life over here. Sure. Yeah. Scott rolls in and goes, oh, yeah. And the thing that we missed was, and then when I say we, I mean me, is when Scott said, I'm telling you, because when Scott, I've realized, Scott, when you do this, hey, I'm telling you, man. So when Scott says, I'm telling you, you should probably listen because the I'm telling you was followed up with these teams that are playing on the road, quote unquote, are going to have an advantage because they're not. There's no home crowd. Now, Tennessee has no excuse. They had fans at that game. Same thing, you know, some of these stadiums had fans there, but it was not the same. And there were teams that were, like, I think the Washington football team, they were close at their own place just because they had nothing else to lose. But some of these other teams that lost, the Rams were like, we don't care that we have a broken quarterback and a backup quarterback. Our defense is really good, and there's no 12th man. There is no 12th man, and that makes a dang difference in Seattle, Scott. Makes a huge dang
difference.
Look,
no one really talks much about fans in anything, in any of the sports right now, and I really believe that it's having a bigger impact on everything happening. When we talked to Ben Anderson about the NBA teams being in the bubble, and like their shooting percentage was so ridiculously high,
yeah,
and it's because the fans, the crowd, it has an impact in games.
Sure.
It just does. Either way, positive or negative, it's a problem, and it causes, you know, how many points is it worth? Who knows? But it's a real thing.
So let's start out with some of the things that are happening across the league that aren't necessarily totally having to deal with the playoffs, but the teams that are dealing with teams are with firings and hirings and all these things. We already talked about the Doug Peterson in the They So Poo Poo segment, but Dan Quinn, who was of course. Meteoric rise up to the spot where he was in Atlanta as the head coach. Before that, of course, was a defensive genius. And now the Cowboys are hoping that he still has that. He's been hired as a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Boy, they need a defensive coordinator. They've been like the worst defense in the league, Scott, the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be the person to be that guy. Unless you really know the personnel and you know your system and you have confidence that they fit in well with what you do. I just, the whole coaching thing to me, Alex, is just, you know, it's like not everyone is good as a head coach.
No, for sure.
But they always look to these coordinators to be the person. I mean, I don't know where else you would look, but it just seems like it's these coordinators are the ones that really, you know, they just attract the biggest amount of attention. And some guys are just better being a coordinator.
Right. In Philadelphia.
Right.
Like this.
They're just not good head coaches. And I'm sure all of them go, you know, want to have the opportunity, want to have the experience. These NFL owners, could you try to be a little bit more creative or imagine, you know, have a bigger imagination than who's the hot coordinator this year? Because I look at Bill Belichick, or not Bill Belichick, but Brian Billick.
Okay, yeah.
And
one of your favorites, yeah.
Well, but he was this amazing coordinator, but he really wasn't. And sometimes you kind of just get in, you get, like his offense was terrible. It was the worst I've ever been in.
You end up just being like the hot name people talk about.
But
and
what
then
he had, what he had, right? He had Randy Moss. He had Chris Carter. He had Jake Reed. He had Kadri Ishmael. He had Randall Cunningham, who kind of what they were doing is because Randall had a big arm.
It's kind of a rebirth for the
Well,
guy,
he had yeah. he just had a big arm, so and Randy Moss could run like the wind,
right?
And so yeah, just throw it to Randy Moss. You know, it's not like. Wow, you are a genius. I mean, you are a genius figuring that out. And so when these coaches go to these other situations and they don't have the personnel, they look really bad. And it's not because they were really good coaches. It's just so much of a circumstance. And I don't think these, you know, like a guy like Adam Gase, you know, he kind of made his name with Peyton Manning in Denver, but it really wasn't. You know, you don't have Peyton Manning when you're with the Jets, or and it's just a hard. These coaches aren't necessarily. I think a lot of them are overrated, and I think to find a really good
Dan Quinn's
coach
one of these guys that I thought, you know, I mean, he did take the Falcons to the Super Bowl, and it was the worst loss in a Super Bowl ever, right? I mean, just the biggest, gave up the
crushing,
you know, just absolute.
I don't know that you could ever. Overcome that. Seriously, it's just 24
maybe
points.
Maybe that's what it was.
Really crushing.
All right, let's move on to Alex Smith. And I couldn't help but think that when he went over and he high-fived Tom Brady after that game, after they lost to Tampa Bay, he's in a hoodie, didn't play, obviously didn't suit up for the game. Tom Brady, Chase Young came up and was like, Tom, I respect you, I respect you. And Tom Brady's like, yeah, whatever, and moves past him and just goes straight to Alex Smith and put his arm around him and was just like, hey, man, because I think all these guys respect what Alex Smith has done, and to come back to that. And I think there was also this feeling of him not being back. I certainly, to be honest, Scott, I hope he doesn't come back. I hope he enjoys retirement. I hope that he can, now that he got his health back and now that he's able to come back and say, I was able to come back for that year, I hope he can walk away. And literally, he's going to be able to walk away from the game that we didn't think he'd be able to. So I'm glad for him. I can't imagine him going forward in the future here.
A couple things. Number one, quarterbacks, there's a common bond there. Just because you know how hard it is in under normal circumstances to play and to be effective and to succeed. And, Tom Brady really understands what Alex Smith has been through, probably more than anyone else. So there's that mutual just respect. And it's pretty much across the board. There are some guys idiots, but most of quarterbacks aren't. But then it's you have to get it out of your system if you're Alex Smith, where if he retires, never comes back, it's always in the back of his mind. Could I have? Should I have? Whatever. And this way, he kind of lives with some peace. And there's
and I did something.
Yeah, I mean, he really at this point, I'm not sure that there's more that he could prove. Maybe it's like, hey, I want to get back to a level where I can compete on a week-to-week basis and compete to win a championship. You know, maybe that's still in there. I don't know. But just the fact that he came back, I think it helps you to kind of move on in life. And football's a hard thing to kind of let go and to give up. And you see everyone, and I'm going to include myself in this, it's hard. It's hard to watch it. It's hard to see it pass you by. It's hard to go, man, I wish I was still out there.
Yeah.
I would for whatever reason.
He can walk away on his own terms now.
It's just easier.
Yeah, and it's different from people parting ways with you and saying, oh, yeah, your time's up. And you're going, no, I don't think it is. You know, and so I think for him, you know, to see his kids up in the booth and all that, and you go, and to see also, I mean, I rewatched his story this weekend, that ESPN documentary, and I went, the guy, I mean, just came back from the worst, you know, the thing you can come back from, and for him to be able to do it, it's pretty awesome. All right, we're going to take the break here. When we come back, we've got more to get to. I've got a two-minute drill. I've got an NFL story still in the two-minute drill I want to bring up. Imagine losing in the playoffs and just going, you know what? I want to go play for a different team in the playoffs. It doesn't really happen in the NFL. It could happen this weekend. Stay right here with us. More to go in KSL's Unrivaled.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curry. In the previous segment, we had a conversation about Alex Smith and him kind of, you know, maybe he could go off in the sunset now that he was able to come back.
He's earned it.
But, you know, it got me to thinking about something, Alex, and what it hit me with was this. One of the great things about sports is that it helps you to kind of find yourself sometimes and what you're really made of. And so it's situations like this where things are tough, you know, and Alex Smith, you know, fought through some just crazy battles, but really the whole battle was within himself. Could he do this? And who was he? And what was he made of, kind of thing? And that's one of the things that I absolutely cherish and love about my experience in sports, because it doesn't go your way all the time, you know, and we're in a culture, this whole cancel culture or this whole I want it right now, instant right. gratification culture. But
well,
to have to
think
work
about the
for something.
Football, and, the college football playoff just, culture where it's like, hey, you got to be undefeated. You have to have zero losses to be able to be a part of this. And you're like,
yeah.
Well.
That's just not how life is, right. You know. And so I just really appreciate sports. And it's not – it doesn't define your character. It helps you find your character and find out who you are and what you're really made of. And I learned a lot about myself. In my experience with sports.
That's why I got my kids into competitive chess, Scott. I think you're exactly right. I think you're right there. You know what's funny is that...
with the chess thing, I just know I didn't know. You know,
you're like, I know what my limits are.
Nope, I'm stupid.
I can't do it.
I am stupid.
You know what's funny is we moved from an area where like they had a pretty competitive chess situation. Not so much now in the new place that we moved. They're like, but the kids are throwing the football at recess a lot more. So that's what I'm down with. All right. Scott, the 2-minute drill. We play this special NFL music, and it gets the old blood pumping, and it gets us thinking about the 2-minute drill, which, by the way, I was noticing Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers were in the 2-minute drill. About 2 minutes into the game, so that was kind of nice. Yeah. He threw the ball 70 times almost, Scott.
That insane. I know. It's crazy. It is so crazy you throw. But see, that's what happens. You break records when your team is bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So. 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Yeah, no problem. So what is a 2-minute drill exactly?
I'll tell you what it is. One. Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, you got to go downfield quickly and score a touchdown, kick a field goal. Well, of course, Pittsburgh had to score a lot of touchdowns. You don't have a lot of time, so you have to hurry. Show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the field. We win our show. We wear a mask on our way home.
There you go.
And especially some of us who are going to get on the train. And then everyone gets a trophy because that's the world we live in and everyone's happy.
Scott, I wanted to bring up one more NFL topic here, and that was this one. I talked to you about this story during show prep, and it was like, whoa, this is something that doesn't happen. Jared Veldheer, who is an 11-year veteran, not Belvedere, not Mr. Belvedere.
Mr. Belvedere.
Jared Veldheer, who played tackle. He had to play tackle for the Colts on Saturday.
Okay.
And you think to yourself, well, I didn't know who all the Colts' offensive line was. Well, Jared Veldheer was one of them. Now, Jared Veldheer is he's a veteran, 11-year veteran, and he used to play for the Packers. And he actually this weekend, it turns out, will likely be playing for the Packers again. He will be the first man in NFL history, Scott, to have played the playoffs with 2 different teams.
Is that legal?
It is not legal.
It's not legal?
Unless Jared Veldheer did, which was he is technically able to do it because he was elevated from the practice squad on Saturday to play for the Colts. Now, because he's not on the 53-man roster, he is available to be picked up for a 53-man roster by another team, which the Green Bay Packers are saying, oh, is he available? Yes, he is. He just lost. He is going to lose a playoff game and then play in one this weekend with a totally different jersey on.
Well,
Scott,
see,
I love it.
And you love this story, and you go, I hope that the Green Bay Packers go and win a Super Bowl. Because it just makes it an unbelievable story, right? He goes from the practice squad to the he goes on and wins.
When I lost in the first round of the playoffs, I said to myself, you know what? This isn't good
enough.
You
keep your head up. And you just keep.
Super Bowl. When? This year. That's
have a positive attitude.
Scott, the millennials are loving this because they're like, yes, he should be able to. He identifies as a Green Bay Packer now, all right?
Identifies as a Green Bay Packer. Could you imagine if you were if they let this happen.
They do this.
Like, if they just go, okay, like, you think of the teams, like...
Every
like,
helicopter mom is like, I agree with this 100%. They should let him do this.
But
this
think of the team you would have playing in the Super Bowl. Like, on both sides, you'd have all these superstars from these other teams.
Yes.
Just, and it's just for the season. Like, it's not a permanent thing. It's like, you get hired for the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. I just love it because... It's just this random offensive lineman who, you know, he's like, it's fine. So many of these, you know, they did this Joe Namath promo yesterday on, I think it was on CBS, or one of the stations, one of the many multiple stations. Nickelodeon, by the way, played, had NFL
covers. Yeah, Sean Payton got slimed.
He did, dude. But they were going through this thing, and Joe Namath was doing this thing about, hey, guess what? If you lose tomorrow, you're playing golf. And I wanted this guy should just roll up and go. And his whole thing was, hey, and if you lose tomorrow, I'll see you on the links. Or if you lose tonight, I'll see you on the links tomorrow. And Valdir's like, nah, I'll just play for the Packers if it doesn't work out on the Colts.
I'm going to Green Bay.
I love it. And it's like, you know, take this hour flight from Indianapolis up to Green Bay, which, by the way, he's already played there. I bet his allegiances are totally with it. These are all old buddies of his.
You know what his allegiance is? No, his allegiance is... I just made more money than I made all year long in this 1 week.
Absolutely.
And that's all. That's
all. Awesome.
Although the playoffs checks aren't that much. They're getting better.
They're better than.
You know, back in the day, they were actually a lot of money. Like, the playoffs was.
You got bonuses for going
like,
to the playoffs.
A guy like Terry Bradshaw, it was. Look, if we win the Super Bowl, I don't have to work this offseason.
That's hilarious. they don't have to work in the tire shop.
Otherwise, I gotta go, you know, slap tires.
Lamar Jackson, by the way, refused to shake hands with any of the Titans after the game. And neither did most of the Ravens, who said it was because of the dancing on the Ravens logo that the Titans did. Do you buy into that, Scott?
I buy into it 1,000%. But I think it's I really do, and I love the whole idea of this because I love these rivalries, and they and Tennessee and Baltimore have had issues through the years, and it's one of those like really kind of mean nasty rivalries, and so yeah, this is fine. It's
I love
all
it.
Good.
Yes, and Lamar Jackson, good for him. He won his first playoff game. All right. And then now, Scott, I wanted to bring up this. 80% of the people in Japan say the Tokyo Olympics should be delayed even further. Now, they, of course, were going to be the 2020 Olympics. They've now become the 2021 Olympics. 80% of the people in Japan say we still don't feel comfortable with all these people coming in from other parts, from parts unknown.
Look, all you got to come do to the Olympics. Just get everyone vaccinated who's going to go to the Olympics.
Yes!
Serious, we got
put
plenty
them on the
of
list.
Time. Get them vaccinated by that time. We're going to be through all of the caregivers and first responders.
Look,
we're going to be through
on
all
the list.
We're going to be through all the older people, and by then it goes Olympic athletes, right?
Yes.
Teachers, Olympic athletes. Then
it's like people over 70 and Olympic athletes.
And Olympic athletes.
Yes.
But here's what I'm so this story is like, how do you know it's 80%? Like I
did a poll, Scott. I took a statistics class in college. I know how this works. It's 80%. Give or take 3 or 4% of the
right. Population. It's kind of a sampling size.
No, I mean, come on.
And then it you can't get 80%.
It's not 4 out of 5 of the people they asked. It's not a bunch of dentists agree.
Do you know how many people are in Tokyo? There's like 22 million.
Yes,
people.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
I mean,
they're
you're talking about
it.
18 million people. You have to ask them the question, and they're gonna. I think it's a little exaggerated. I don't think it's accurate information. Why don't they just say
okay,
a majority of people?
Scott's going to go fake news on this. Scott, this is statistically exactly how this works. I don't know how big the sample size was, but I bet it was pretty big. I'm not going to argue about how the statistics works, but I'll tell you about the numbers. Japan is spending $15.5 billion with a B dollars to hold the Olympics there in Japan.
So I just had. I don't care about this. Whatever, fine. Just vaccinate them all and you're fine.
Okay.
That's all we got to do.
I agree.
It's it. Look, I just had a thought, and it's out of the blue, and I don't know why I just had it. Have you seen the new south end zone at the University of Utah?
No. I've only seen it with it cleared out. I've only seen it when it was busted out.
For some reason, it just popped into my head.
How's it look?
They actually have.
Do they have a rendering online right now?
They have a preview center. No, they have a preview. Yeah, go online.
Where is it?
No, but real life is better than online now.
Okay.
And I just look at it, and I don't know why. I don't know why I care about this, but I just think this is the coolest thing that's ever happened at the University of Utah. Something about having a complete stadium. Like, it's a complete stadium now. It's not this kind of hodgepodge, put these little parts together and fit these things in. And it's like, yeah, we got this really crappy locker room, and we got this massive scoreboard above it. And now it's going to just be the coolest thing in the entire world.
Scott Mitchell's impressed. All right, we're going to take the break here. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. I can't wait to see it.
It's very cool.
We'll take the break. We'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of the program. For Scott, I'm Alex. See you then, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.